Showtime presents Homeland.
Air and naval forces of the United States launched a series of strikes against terrorist facilities.
Claire Danes, Damian Lewis, Marina Baccarin.
This will not stand, this aggression against Kuwait.
His relentless pursuit.
David Harewood, Diego Klassenhoff.
This was an act of terrorism. It was a despicable and cowardly act.
Jackson Pace, Morgan Saylor, and Mandy Patinkin.
Stops him.
I'm just making sure we don't get hit again.
Grainy black and white images of the World Trade Center burning.
Thousands of people running.
We must, and we will, remain vigilant at home and abroad.
A sign for the George Bush Center for Intelligence.
What the fuck are you doing?
I'm not going to be anything,
Dad. I missed something once before. I won't. I can't.
It was 10 years ago. Everyone missed something that day.
Everyone's not me.
Carrie listens on headphones. Brody looks out at Capitol Hill. A helicopter flies overhead.
Previously on Homeland.
An American prisoner of war has been turned.
Well, that's one interpretation, but that's all it is at the moment.
Jessica, it's me. Brody.
If he is a terrorist, we need eyes and ears on Brody from the minute he steps off that plane.
Out of the question.
The terrorist is still out there. We need Brody in the public eye, reminding America that this is far from over.
What if he's not up for it, psychologically?
Carrie watching Brody.
Just a couple questions, Sergeant Brody.
You got 10 seconds to get off my property.
Brody floors the reporter, then talks to Mike.
The brass sent you over here to turn me into some fucking poster boy for their bullshit war.
Abu Nazir?
Was he ever present during any of your interrogations?
No.
You are the only agency asset to have had eyes on Nazir in 7 years.
You know that they stone women like me to death if we get caught doing anything that we're not supposed to.
I won't let anything happen to you.
So Abu Nazir's resurfacing just as Brody has miraculously returned home means nothing?
Dots are there, Carrie, but you haven't connected them yet.
Wait, there's no camera in the garage? Jesus Christ, Virgil!
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
Brody praying in his garage. In a city hotel suite, Prince Farid and Lynn are in bed having sex. As he kneads her breast, he slowly thrusts into her from behind, gently building up the rhythm until the moment of climax when their bodies relax. They smile and share a lusty kiss. He plants kisses between her breasts, then gets up and slips on a robe. With her blonde hair all tousled, Lynn watches him with a relaxed smile, then sits up.
Stay there.
He gives her a lingering look, then leaves the room. Almost instantly, her eyes alight on his mobile phone that's been left at the bottom of the bed. She hastily shrugs on a robe, then peeks along the corridor to where Farid is talking to Latif. Lynn quickly grabs the phone and slots in the card Carrie gave her to copy the data. As the upload passes 50%, Farid makes to return, but then Latif says something which delays him for a second. Just as the upload completes and Lynn is quickly returning the phone, Farid walks back in.
What are you doing?
Nothing, Amir. I'm just getting dressed.
With a nervous laugh, she goes to him, but his unsmiling eyes look her up and down. Then, saying nothing, he steers her over to a mirror in the corner of the room. As he stands close behind her, she watches him in the mirror, half opening her silky robe to partially expose her breasts and chest. Then he produces a stunning diamond necklace. She gasps as she stares at the rope of diamonds, which tapers down her chest to a large teardrop jewel at its tip. He puts the necklace on for her.
Oh, it's beautiful, Amir.
You're beautiful.
He turns her to face him, and they share a warm, intimate kiss, before sliding each other's robes off their shoulders and kissing hungrily.
I'd like to swap out this couch, please. And the painting, something a little less Motel 6. I'll do what I did for the McCain 2009 interview, highest ratings ever.
You know, I missed that one. I was out of the country.
Of course.
Okay. Oh, shit. Carrie, would you get in here?
What is it?
It's a crew member from the network. They're about to move the couch where we have a contact mic mounted to the baseboard.
Holy motherfuck.
Okay, wait a second. You put that down.
And can we get the painting back on the wall?
Where it belongs.
We'll stick with Motel 6, I think. But hey, just do it. Guys, we need to interview about your home invasion.
Thank you, Brody. I apologize. All right, I'm going to be late for my briefing. Let me know who wins. Look, we're broadcasting a special here in 2 days. The homecoming of an American hero. I know what the audience wants. You need to trust me.
No, I don't.
Okay. Keep the couch. It's great. Let's have you take a seat right there, please.
All right. We'll have them all on the couch.
Hey, back at it.
Looks like.
She has no idea who she's dealing with.
I had no idea he had such strong feelings about home decor.
It's probably the only thing to him that seems the same. I kept everything exactly the same the whole time he was gone.
Not everything?
I'm not going to do this interview. It's a complete joke. They're trying to make us into some perfect family.
You are the perfect family.
No, we're not.
Well, not you, maybe, but the rest of them. Your brother's a Boy Scout, literally. Your mother, she's got this whole MILF thing going. And your father, I mean, Sergeant Brody, he's a hero.
Yeah, he is. So leave the rest of us out of it.
Okay, suggestion, if I may. Do the interview, right? Do something crazy.
Like what? Light my hair on fire?
Wear a burka.
Every time the interviewer asks a question, tell him to go shut the fuck up.
Look, the whole country will be watching, right? And you can say whatever you want. Tell the truth.
The truth would be interesting.
Intelligence work has led us to this man.
Prince Farid bin Aboud, also known to his friends as Freddy. We've spent years chasing rumors that the prince funded terrorists, but we've never had proof until a meeting between the prince and Abu Nazir was videotaped by this woman, Lynn Reed, a CIA asset and member of the prince's personal retinue.
We're running a hooker?
If by hooker you mean someone who's out there risking her life while we're sitting around a conference table, then yeah, we are. I just received word from her that she successfully downloaded the prince's cell phone onto an IX chip. I'll be retrieving it first thing tomorrow.
Very good.
So immediately after his meeting with Abu Nazir, the prince came here to D.C. We believe the purpose of his visit is to move funds to one of Abu Nazir's people here in the United States. If we can flag the transfer, we can follow the money to Nazir's operative. The prince is a global guy. He lives on that phone that Lynn Reed just downloaded for us. So it should be a good place to start.
Questions?
You say you believe the prince is here for the purpose of transferring funds. Why?
Like I said, the timing of the trip, following on the heels of the prince's meeting with Abu Nazir in Cyprus.
My understanding is the prince comes to the United States every year about this time, to top off his harem, not to fund terrorism.
Saul, what was that about?
It was a legitimate question.
So ask me offline. Don't torpedo my briefing.
It was a question, carrying out an act of war.
Abu Nazir's express goal is an attack on our country. It's his holy grail.
No one doubts that.
Well, half the reason I think Abu Nazir has something in the works now is Brody, and you know I can't talk about that.
Let me see if I understand this. You think when I ask you the same exact question I'd ask anyone else, that really I'm just giving you a hard time? Is that it? Got a meeting to get to.
He walks off and leaves her standing. It's dark outside when Dana quietly lets herself into her house and closes the door behind her. As she's making her way to her room,
Dana
stops in her tracks. Her mum and dad are sitting at the kitchen table.
Where were you?
With friends.
You missed the prep for the interview.
Yeah, that was kind of the point.
Hey.
Sorry. Can I go?
No.
Sure.
Dana leaves the kitchen.
I didn't mean to confuse things.
So you know, she's always like this. It's not you.
You sure?
Ask her to do anything and the attitude goes up like a wall. I mean, she's obviously got a secret life going on out there.
Well, she's 16.
Only 16.
No, I meant, didn't you have a secret life when you were that age?
Yeah, with you. That was different.
You want me to try talking to her?
Please, be my guest.
Brody gets up and leaves the table. As Brody approaches Dana's bedroom, Chris steps out into the corridor.
If I run into any trouble, I'll send up a flare.
Jessica's heading out of the kitchen. Hearing the laughter, she stops, then approaches Dana's bedroom door. Jessica listens to the laughter with a bemused frown, then folds her arms. After a few moments more, she turns to walk away. In the near deserted spa, Lynn has the pool to herself as she swims lengths. The door opens and Carrie breezes in with a bag. Lynn stops at the end of the pool, ducks her head under the water, then watches Carrie striding past the loungers on her way to the changing room. Wearing a white bikini, Lynn hauls herself out of the pool, then goes into the changing room and opens a locker.
You actually went swimming.
I thought that was the idea.
Lynn leaves her silver compact on the locker shelf, then momentarily disappears into the shower room. Carrie checks the compact has the data card inside, then switches it for her own identical compact.
So what exactly are you expecting to find on that?
These operations need money, right?
You think it's coming from Farid?
He's certainly got enough of it. So now we look for something out of the ordinary on the download you got us. An electronic wire with odd routing, a meeting he takes with someone new outside his usual circle. A transfer of money. I'll know it when I see it.
You're sure about this, about Farid being part of an attack?
Pretty much, yeah.
Because I've been right beside him for over a year, and all I've seen is a nice guy with a few sexual quirks. Now, he gave me this amazing necklace yesterday. He didn't have to. He doesn't owe me. I swear, it actually meant something to him.
I'm sure it did.
He's taking us all clubbing tonight to show off the new girls. That's what his whole life is about, just having fun.
I know it must seem that way, but the man you recorded him with, Abu Nazir, you know he's the real deal. You never would have been able to get this any other way. You should feel really good about what you've done.
Well, I've downloaded his phone for you. I'm done. What about you?
Me? No. I'm never done.
The two women part company. At home, Brody's cooking up some eggs and bacon.
Shouldn't you be getting ready for your interview?
They push it back a couple hours.
Are you nervous?
No, I was told Lawrence O'Donnell gives everyone a hard time except guys in uniform. Chris, Dana, breakfast!
So you know, Chris is all about sugar in the morning, usually Cocoa Pebbles. Dana doesn't touch breakfast. It's as if you're trying to poison her. So what were you two talking about last night?
Huh?
I heard Dana laughing. It's hard not to. What was so funny?
Oh, it was this video called YouTube. Have you seen it? The dog talking about food?
No, not that one. I saw a cat that smokes.
It was really quite funny. Hey, you want some?
No, thanks.
Jessica gives him an I told you so look.
I'll take some. Thank you.
Looking taken aback, Jessica watches Dana sitting down with the breakfast.
Looks good. Lack of porn is a little surprising, given the prince's reputation. You know, at your briefing yesterday, I didn't mean anything calling your asset a hooker.
Want to make it up to me? Find me evidence of a money transfer. Start with the encrypted files. Really, it's important. Saul, I just picked up the download from Lynn Reed.
Anything there?
Crypto's processing it now. Hopefully we'll know in a couple hours.
Good. I got a meeting to go to.
Meeting to go to, sure. How long are you going to keep doing this? When are you going to forgive me for screwing up?
I forgive you, Carrie.
No, you don't.
I really don't want to get into this here.
I lied to you. It was wrong. I understand that.
Do you? I think that'd be nice. Good.
Saul.
Everyone lies in this business. I accept that. But we all draw a line somewhere, and the two sides of that line are us and them. And whatever we had, you and I, whatever trust we built up over a decade of me protecting you, teaching you everything I know, you destroyed it when you lied to me, and you treated me like them, like every other schmuck in this building. And when you say you understand, is that what you mean?
He turns on his heel, then strides off down the corridor. Looking stung, Carrie watches him for a moment, then walks off as well.
What was it like hearing your liberators rolling in?
Well, they flew in, which I didn't know at the time. I was in a pretty deep bunker, so I couldn't really hear what was going on. Then I heard a massive firefight. I knew there'd be casualties. But at the moment the door to my bunker blew in, I still didn't know which side to won. And then a flashbang went off, which blinded me. And I just braced for the end. It took a while to work out what had really happened.
That you were free?
Yeah.
Sergeant Brody, your commander has showed us the results of your initial medical exam.
Yes.
There's a section, scars and other identifying marks. It goes on for nearly 2 pages. You were beaten.
In flashback, a bag's put over Brody's head.
Yes.
Tortured.
He's kicked.
That's right.
To what end?
The bag is pulled off. Then Brody slowly lifts up his head, his eyes adjusting to the sight of platters of delicious fresh fruit, and Abu Nazir looking down at him. In the present, Brody's walking along with the TV interviewer and a film crew.
To what end?
What did they want from you?
As the captive Brody stuffs the juicy fruit into his mouth, Abu Nazir gently cups Brody's chin.
They want you to lose faith. Lose faith in your country, which they say is the devil. In your brother Marines, who they say aren't coming for you because you have no military value. In your wife, who they say has got her arms wrapped around someone else.
How do you resist that?
You can't. Except by believing that those people they want you to renounce, that they're keeping the faith in you, and you owe it to them to do the same.
Semper Fidelis.
As the interviewer carries on, his words seem to strike a chord with Brody, who stops and looks about him curiously, before finally giving a nod. At a drive-through fast food joint flying Mexican flags, Jessica and Dana stop in the queue.
Your father did his interview this morning.
Good?
It is good, I think, to talk about it.
To 10 million people? You think that's good?
Okay. I get that you don't want to do the interview with us.
I don't really think anybody wants to hear what it is I have to say.
Thank you for your order. Please pull forward to the window. Welcome to Gaucho Taco. We'll be with you in a minute.
What's good here?
Well, it's 59-cent tacos, Mom. I'm sure it's all delicious.
Look, Dana, I know this is hard. Your father was gone for 8 years, and now he's back.
It's not it, Mom.
He's back, and there's a camera crew at our house when what we really need is some privacy. But that's his job now, to be a public figure, and it's our job to be there for him. We owe him that. Dana, I do listen. I know you think it's phony putting us up on stage, and you're not wrong.
Well, Mom, it'd be a lot less phony if we weren't fucking his good friend, Mike.
I'm not.
Oh, please, Mom. With your black sleazy thongs always drying in the bathroom and him coming over to help out. Do you really think I'm an idiot?
Jessica's throne.
Dana, I thought he was dead. We all did.
But he's not, Mom. And he comes home to this devoted wife. And everyone is in on the secret except him. Nice. Welcome home.
Dana! Dana! Your father can never hear about any of this. It would really hurt him.
Him or you, Mom?
Him? Both of us, our entire family, do you understand that? Dana, I need you to promise.
Hi.
Hello.
This must be Jessica and Dana.
That's right, it's my wife and my daughter.
I just stopped by to say hi before the family interview tomorrow. Give us a chance to get acquainted. So, good we're all here.
The surveillance camera shows Jessica and Mike walking off. Carrie arrives home.
You're late.
Yeah, sorry. Where's Max?
He went home when the shift ended like I should have.
Please tell me you found something.
Well, as a matter of fact, I did.
Hello. This must be Jessica and Dana. Yes, my wife and my daughter. Just stop by to say hi before the family interview tomorrow.
Is that?
Lawrence O'Donnell, I know. Here, watch this. You know that family interview they're all getting ready for?
Virgil spools forward to Jessica and Mike in the kitchen.
She knows. Dana does. About us.
And how? We were so careful.
You said you had something. I thought you meant something big.
Well, this is big.
Oh, I mean like a bomb or a call from Abu Nazir. Picked up the downlink from Lynn Reed today, and after all we went through, there's nothing on it. I need to find something here.
Hey, aren't you the one who's always telling me to be patient?
I don't have time to be patient. I have 3 weeks left, and we're sitting around watching this, I don't know, whatever it is, this reality show.
Hey, have you eaten? I noticed there's some spaghetti in the cupboard. It's only 10 years past its expiration date. I'm sure it won't kill us. All right.
In a heaving nightclub, men in suits lead the sexily dressed women of the prince's harem across the room.
So what do we do? Just wait for the prince?
That's right, you wait and you look beautiful and you try and enjoy yourself. Can you manage that?
I could certainly try. Here's a question. How do I get one of those?
Stacy points to Lynn's necklace. Having changed out of her work suit, Carrie settles down in front of the bank of surveillance monitors and puts on a set of headphones. She watches Brody going into his bathroom and turning on the tap. Turning a bar of soap around in his hands and studying his face in the mirror, Brody has a flashback to washing his hands at a marble sink in the Middle East. His unkempt hair and beard are now gone and he's wearing a simple white robe. As Brody stares at his own reflection in the present, Carrie can't take her eyes off him.
Are you all right?
Yeah. Fine. It's all yours.
When he pats his face dry and walks out, leaving her to turn off the tap, Jessica looks concerned. Carrie switches the feed to the bedroom, where a pillow is lying on the carpet beside the bed. Brody plumps it up, then rests his head on it, making the floor his bed for the night. At the club, Stacy finishes a bottle.
Another bottle! Easy, pace yourself. I know. We have all night. You have 2 years.
As Stacy heads off with another girl to the dance floor, Lynn is approached by Latif, whom she eyes with caution.
Not so sure about that one.
His Highness says she reminds him of you when you first started. His Highness has a special favor to ask. A job he wants you to do.
A job?
He's meeting with a businessman tomorrow, a new acquaintance. He'd like you to go there tonight, make the man feel welcome.
Make him feel welcome. Amir said that.
He said he wishes to make a good impression.
Why didn't he tell me that himself?
The prince can be excruciatingly indirect in making his wishes known. But for that, he has me. Is there a problem?
No. No problem.
Good. Driver's waiting.
I need to freshen up first.
Hurry.
Jessica comes out of the bathroom and looks down at Brody, who's asleep on the floor.
Hey. You awake?
She kneels down behind him and places her hand on his hip.
Brody, a lot's happened in 8 years. There's a lot we need to talk about. I just want you to know that when you're ready, so am I. Do you hear me?
He's lying on his side with his arms wrapped around himself. She leans over and plants kisses on his hand, shoulder, and arm whilst reaching up under his t-shirt. When she moves up to kiss his cheek, he freezes for a moment before turning his face to hers and sharing kisses on the mouth.
I want to try again.
Carrie's glued to the screen.
Got any tomatoes?
In the crisper.
Any from this century?
In the cupboard, there might be a jar of something.
As Carrie continues to watch, Jessica pulls up Brody's t-shirt.
No. Take yours off. Please. Take it off.
Jessica sits up on her knees, then pulls her simple white t-shirt up over her head, revealing her naked breasts. Carrie tries to discreetly look away, but her eyes are drawn back to the monitor. The black and white feed shows Brody also sitting up on his knees and facing his wife. In the bedroom, Brody reaches into his pajama bottoms as Jessica strokes his chest. She glances down, then goes to give him a hand.
Let me.
No. It's better if you don't.
While her eyes search his face, he begins to masturbate. Looking rejected, she averts her gaze, then sits back, putting a couple of feet between them. Carrie looks uncomfortable, but continues to watch. Then it all gets too much. Carrie pushes away the monitor and pulls off her headphones. A humiliated Jessica waits for Brody to finish. As she sits there, unable to look at him, he flops down onto his makeshift bed, spent. Still kneeling, she leans back against the bed, thinks for a few moments, then reaches for her t-shirt. Carrie answers her mobile.
Hello?
Hey, it's Lynn.
Lynn, where are you?
I'm out. It's getting weird.
What do you mean?
Did you find anything on that cell phone, that transfer you were talking about?
No, not yet.
I think I may have found it.
They just asked me to go entertain some new business acquaintance at the Prince's meeting tomorrow.
Who?
I don't know.
Somebody that he's trying to impress.
You sound worried.
Normally, we don't even talk to any man but the Prince, and they want me to go meet him. Now. The backup.
They're going to be able to follow me, right?
What?
The people that are protecting me.
Wait, where are they?
Yeah, they'll be right behind you. Don't worry, we have your back. Just keep your phone on. We'll be able to track you that way.
Okay. Thank you.
For protection?
Where's your van? Lynn's about to meet the prince's new business partner. She's a welcome gift.
Terry, what did you tell her?
You heard what I told her. What was I supposed to say? No, Essie didn't give you a protection detail. Now, come on, we finally got a break.
Carrie and Virgil drive through the city.
I'm not seeing her phone. Why isn't this working?
I don't know. Hit Tracer.
Since when did they make our street a one-way?
Okay, we've got it. Where's the map?
Just give it a second, will you?
Okay. All right, she's still at the club.
They follow the tracker on the map.
Lynn Reed?
Where are we going?
Hey, Adams. You been before?
Many times.
Oh, careful.
Thank you.
Nice hotel. Very nice. So, how did you get hooked up with these guys, may I ask? Okay, I get it. None of my business, you're right. It's just they paid cash, substantial tip in advance. I mean, substantial. Wouldn't mind being on the permanent list is all.
All right, well, take care of me and I'll put in a good word for you.
Thank you. Very kind.
Okay, just leave me your card.
The man shoots her twice at point blank range in the stomach, steals the diamond necklace from around her neck, then takes off in a car. Lynn's body lies sprawled across the alley. Virgil's van's hurtling through the city, taking corners at speed.
Which way are they going? We're nearly there. Which way are they going?
They're not going anywhere. She's not moving.
Where are they?
Behind the club. Turn there.
Do you think that's a good idea?
Turn there!
He turns into the alley, and they see Lynn's body.
Shit.
Carrie, wait! Carrie, there is nothing to be done here, okay? They made her. Come on, we can't be seen.
Carrie gets back in the van and breaks down.
Fuck.
With early morning sunlight streaming in through the window, Jessica awakes in bed. She props herself up, sees Brody's knot in his makeshift bed on the floor, then sits up. Loosely hugging her knees, she sits for a moment and thinks.
Where's your father?
Don't know.
Where's Dana?
Don't know that either. They drove off together about a half hour ago. If she didn't do the interview, does that mean I don't get to do it either?
I mean, it's not that I don't appreciate all that she does. It's just, you know, there are some things that I don't appreciate.
Yeah, so ignore them.
Yeah, but it's... I mean, it's stuff that I don't think anyone would appreciate. I mean, it's stuff that I don't think you would appreciate.
Brody and Dana arrive at a mesh fence covered in padlocks.
What are you looking for?
You'll see.
What are these?
Historical artifacts. Look.
NB for JL.
You and Mom.
Mm-hmm.
Each padlock put here by couples who thought they'd stay together forever. I wonder how many did. Not many, I bet.
Why are you even showing these to me?
Because it's never easy. A lot of things can happen. You know, when I went over to Afghanistan, you were in third grade. Now, Chris was about this size. Your mom and I were almost still like newlyweds. That's what I took over there with me. You were in a play that year, the Wackadoo Zoo. Oh, you were so good.
I can't believe that you remember that.
Honey, that's practically all I thought about for 8 years. It kept me alive. Well, now I'm back. You know, and all those things that kept me going, they've gone. You know, people have moved on, things have changed. And what's replaced it, well, doesn't make any sense to me. Not yet, at least. You know, I'm kind of struggling for things to hold on to. And your mom's struggling, too. You should cut her some slack. We both should.
Gina looks thoughtful.
Yeah. So, why are you even doing a stupid interview then if things don't make sense?
I don't know. Maybe just to keep the peace.
What are you gonna say?
No, I'm not gonna lie. But I'm not gonna tell the truth either. I'm not going to tell a bunch of total strangers what I just told you.
At Langley, Carrie meets David waiting for a lift.
Hey. Go ahead.
They both step into an empty lift, then the doors close.
She was, DOA at Providence. Two rounds, point blank. Apparently they had her wearing some crown jewel type necklace that's, vanished. So local law enforcement is saying it's a robbery. Gone wrong. That's good for us. Keeps us out of it. You get anything off the prince's cell, finally? Yeah, it fits. Soundies must have made her somehow. Decided to take her out.
The lift doors open, and they both step out. Carrie stops and turns to him.
I want to talk to Prince Fareed.
DC police already did. I've got the interview if you want to see. You okay?
She walks off without answering.
This guy is a Marine, right? I thought they were supposed to be on time.
At Brody's house.
Okay, that's good, Tim. I like that there. Keep that.
Put on your nice clothes.
As Jessica moves through to the hall, Brody and Dana arrive back.
Hey.
Hey.
You ready?
When he kisses her, she smiles.
I'm gonna go change. Mike?
As Brody heads off, she lets out a relieved sigh.
She was my employee for nearly 2 years.
And this necklace, it was a present from you?
Yes.
To your employee. Told was worth quite a lot of money.
She was worth a lot. To me. She was a beautiful soul. She would never hurt anybody. So, you wipe that look off your face and you find out who did this to her. Find out!
It continues in that vein.
I need to talk to Fareed.
Not possible.
If you don't trust me, you're welcome to be in the room.
It's not gonna happen, Carrie. They're at the airport by now, heading back to the Gulf.
You let them leave?
If it makes a difference, State Department made the call. Said it wasn't worth antagonizing the Saudis.
Yeah, you mean she wasn't worth antagonizing them.
It hurts to lose an asset, Carrie. I get that, but she's gone. And Abu Nazir is still out there. What we need now is a new way to find him.
I'm sitting in the home of Marine Sergeant Nicholas Brody, his wife Jessica, and his two children, Chris and Dana. A family that put a yellow ribbon on the tree for 8 years while Sergeant Brody was presumed dead in Iraq, when in fact he was being held as a prisoner of war under brutal conditions. So, a lot of adjustments to make, I'm sure. How has the homecoming been?
Well?
Brody glances at Jessica sitting next to him as he struggles to find the words.
It's been great. For all of us. It's been really, really great to have him back. And I hope it is for him too. Coming home.
As Brody puts his arm around Jessica so he can tousle Dana's hair, Jessica strokes his thigh and Mike watches closely.
Carrie Matheson.
Yeah, they called. You police?
State Department. Did anyone notify the family?
Yeah, they're here.
They are?
Yeah. Drove all night from Sandusky, Ohio. Never been to D.C. before.
What did you tell them?
Nothing. It's all hush-hush. They're not idiots, though. You know, her so-called job was traveling with a Saudi prince. I don't think there's any illusions what he was paying her for.
Mr. and Mrs. Reed are holding their dead daughter's hand in the morgue when Carrie approaches them. They both look up at her, and she sighs heavily, before gazing down at Lynn's corpse and fighting back her emotions.
She wasn't just some escort. She worked for us. She gave her life for this country. That's what I wanted to say. That's what any human being would say to these people, that she was good, that we owed it to her to protect her. But I could not say that. I couldn't say that because it's a secret. I'm not allowed. And I was thinking, this is a fucked up business. This is a fucked up business. And I...
Are you done?
No. No, I'm just going to keep talking and talking so you can't say you have some meeting to go to or make up whatever other excuse you're going to make up so you don't have to deal with me.
Carrie. Everyone's left. There's no meetings to go to.
She looks at Saul across his desk.
She called me from the club. 10 minutes before she was killed. She asked if I had protection on her, and I said yes.
What do you want me to say? It matters. It doesn't matter. Don't worry, it'll all be fine.
Just say something, because when you cut me out, I'm all alone out here, and I can't stand it.
Saul thinks for a moment, then puts on his glasses and gets to his feet. He comes around to the other side of his desk and sits down next to Carrie. When he takes her hand comfortingly, her lips tremble as she fights back tears.
They made your informant.
Killed her.
And I didn't stop them.
He lets go of her hand and sits back in the chair.
So, this transfer you had everybody looking for?
Never happened. And now they're gone. But the prince was so broken up about her, really, really sad. I can't believe he knew they were going to kill her.
What made you think he was even involved?
The video of him with Abu Nazir that Lynn Reed shot.
Which was what exactly? Their conversation was benign, what little we could hear of it. An exchange of pleasantries. Nothing more.
Maybe Abu Nazir really went on that boat to talk to someone else. Someone in the prince's entourage.
Someone without his means? If the prince wants to fund something, he's got the resources. Not everybody does. You're looking for a money transfer, right? Transfer of money from a nomadic culture that has always known jewelry is the easiest way to move wealth. Tell me again about the necklace she was wearing.
$500,000.
$350,000.
$400,000.
The man looks at the diamond necklace under the microscope again, then gives Latif a nod.
Where did the money go?
Could be anywhere.
Congratulations. Not many young couples can manage their first home, all cash.
Thank you.
I hope you'll be happy here.
I'm sure we will be.
The young couple and estate agent look just above their heads and see a plane coming into land.
They say you get used to the noise.
We don't mind it.
I like being close to the airport. For us, it's perfect.